Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You probably remember some of the shows, now 25 years ago, Touched by an Angel, movies, Angels in the Outfield, just to name a couple. You probably also adore those little Precious Moments angels, the fat little cherub, Valentine as well. Of course, we probably have a few images of angels even around our own homes. And pop culture is fascinated with them. This is a bit dated now, but this is about all I could find at the quickly. Well, according to a poll in 2011, 8 in 10 Americans said they believed in angels. The more fascinating part of that was that 50% of those who responded never had attended a worship service of any kind, and yet said they believed in angels. It's safe to say that angels are made more in the image of the world's imagination, and most unfortunate is the fact that they all too often are spoken of without any mention of Christ and his church. Angels, for many people, have more in common with the idea of a New Age mysticism or the idea that I can be spiritual without needing to take into account the holy triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All this focus and attention on angels for their own sake apart from Christ plays right into the very hands of Satan himself, that wicked angel, Lucifer, who fell from heaven and took a host of others with him precisely because he wanted to upstage his Creator and Lord. So this day, we give thanks to God for Saint Michael and all angels. September 29th technically is the day that the church here takes that moment to acknowledge and remember the angels. And so, this Sunday, today, October 1st, we're going to consider the role of angels according to what God says of them in his word. From our reading today in Daniel and Revelation, gives us a very different picture of angels than what we might have in our romantic pink shaded glasses. Saint Michael is a fierce warrior of the Lord, and the angels with him are a powerful army waging war against the powers of darkness. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. In order to put things into some better perspective, we should probably consider a few other examples in the Old Testament where the strength and numbers of angels are mentioned. In the book of 2 Kings, we hear about how the king of Syria sent his army to surround the city of Dothan, where Elisha, the prophet of God, was. A servant of Elijah, Gehazi, woke up that morning and was scared out of his wits because of the horde of Assyrians on the horizon. But when this news reached Elisha, Elisha was calm as a cucumber. "Don't be afraid. Our army is bigger than theirs." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant to see the horses and chariots of fire everywhere upon the hills surrounding the city, even those Syrians. The mighty angelic army of the Lord was keeping constant vigil around Elisha and the people of the Lord. Many years later, during the reign of the last great king of Judah, Hezekiah, he was confronted by the Assyrian army Sennacherib, or the king Sennacherib. Sennacherib, in his own chronicles, writes that he had Judah and Jerusalem like a small bird in a cage. Hezekiah sought the Lord for aid. And the prophet Isaiah assured Hezekiah that the Lord would answer and not one Assyrian arrow would be shot into the city. And one night, one angel of the Lord struck down the enemy camp, and they counted 185,000 dead Assyrians that next day. So, angels are extremely powerful. They are part of a great cosmic battle waged first in heaven and now also on earth between Michael and all the holy angels and Satan with his demonic horde. Given the power of these great and powerful beings, we can hardly imagine the intensity of that conflict. The military conflicts in which we know of from our recent past barely pale in comparison. But John the Apostle continues. He says, "Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath." That's to say, the same fierce battle that Saint Michael and his angels first started fighting against Satan in heaven now also unfolds here. And it's fought for each and every one of you individually. And the fight begins at your baptism. You are named one of Christ Jesus' own. That battle is clearly fought and seen in the four holy gospels. Think of how many times Jesus casts out demons. It's one of Jesus' and his apostles' trademarks to do. St. Michael's Day technically has two different gospel lessons. One is what we heard from Matthew 18, but the other is from Luke 10. There, Luke records for us that after the 72 were sent out, sometime later they returned saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus responded by saying, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." The demons must submit to the name of Christ. And it remains the same case to this very day, also for you and for me, that wherever Christ and his gospel enters in, Satan is cast out and falls like lightning from the sky. And we still practice this in the rite of holy baptism when we use Dr. Luther's baptismal rite. When we say, "Depart, unclean spirit. Make room for the Holy Spirit." In the waters and the word of holy baptism, you are given a participation in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reality in which you have in Christ is the very thing that gives you victory over sin, death, and hell, and Satan himself. There is nothing and no one in heaven or on earth who can destroy the life of Christ which you now possess. But it does not mean that Satan gives up fighting. In fact, he only fights harder to get you to fall into unbelief. Remember, he would love nothing more than for you to stop hearing Christ's word of mercy for you and for the world. Satan loved for us to stumble and thus bring others down with us. But having the promise of everlasting life, being baptized into Christ, you have the promise as recorded in St. Matthew that the little ones of Jesus are watched over and protected by his angels, who always behold the face of his Father in heaven. That applies not only to small children, but to you, to me, and to all who have been born again as the little ones of Jesus Christ by the washing of water with his word and holy baptism. And from that moment, when your battle with Satan began, you have been assisted by the mighty protection of the Lord's holy angels. We pray that the Lord grant his holy angel to guard and to protect us, to help us against the temptations that we face on a daily basis, and to ever point us to Christ for sustaining of this faith. The angels guard and protect you in Christ, and they are honored to do so because of what Christ has done for you. As great as the angels are, they actually stand in reverent awe of the fact that because Christ came to save men by becoming man and dying and rising, we who are men are raised in Christ to the heights of his divine nature. The angels revel that the glory of God is made manifest in such a way that God became man, taking on human nature, dying and rising, so that you and I might be united to him and his body, and thus be exalted far above all the angels. Some church theologians tend to speculate that it was this knowledge of this plan for humanity that led Satan to his jealous rebellion. Because he wanted to be number one, the crown of creation. But God had other plans for man. Saint Michael and the holy angels of God, there is no jealousy towards us men. Quite the opposite. The angels in heaven rejoice when you and I are brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and thus be saved. The protection of the angels is not just something physical, but it's much more importantly spiritual. In the places of the Gospels, Jesus promises the disciples that nothing will harm them. Obviously, he does not mean that his Christian people will never suffer loss or pain of any kind. In fact, Christ promises that we will have trouble in the world. That he himself suffered a pain and a nasty death on the cross. All the apostles, save John, were killed for their faith in Christ. Christ and his Christians will carry a cross. Yet, in spite of the suffering and death that you may endure in your brief life upon earth, you have Christ's promise that nothing in all creation will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Christ also reminds, I have overcome the world. Christ himself has overcome the prince of the age, and you are kept steadfast in Christ according to his rich mercy by his own power and his strength until you are called to him at the day of your own death in this world. This is the protection that Saint Michael and the holy angels provide by the gracious will of the Father in heaven. And then, in addition, they oftentimes reserve our physical life here on earth. But I'm sure many of us can think of one story or two where you thought an angel had to be involved. Our relationship to the holy angels does not end with their protection of our bodies and our souls, nor will it ever end. For they join us, or actually we with them, now and throughout eternity when we praise our holy triune God and the Lamb who sits upon this throne. And we even acknowledge the presence of the angels when we gather for worship, because we join with them in their own songs. The Glory in Excelsis was first sung and still is sung by the angels. The Sanctus, holy, 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 sung first by the angels in the vision of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. We get to join in their songs of praise. And with the angels and archangels, all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify the glorious name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is indeed good that Saint Michael and all angels be remembered and surround us as we gather at the rail for communion. We learn from Revelation, Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You and I get to receive that same body and blood. And it's given to you this day for the strengthening of your faith and for everlasting life. It is what has overcome Satan. In the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were ultimately driven away from the garden. And a mighty angel with a great flaming sword protected the tree of life, lest Adam and Eve eat of the tree and live forever in their sin. But now, by the holy and precious blood of Christ Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. And his cross has become for you and for me a new tree of life, from which we now eat the fruit of his redemption. And the angels are still standing guard, guarding that tree of life from sin, death, and the power of the devil. But no longer do they bar it from the children of Adam and Eve, but rather they keep us safe and secure as we eat from that life-giving tree. The great flaming sword and the powerful armies of Saint Michael and the holy angels surround us on all sides and fight for us to the glory of Christ Jesus. These mighty angels rejoice before the face of the Father in heaven that you have been brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, and that your name is written in the book of life. Therefore, they join with you and with all the people of God to worship the Lamb who was slain, who is risen to live and reign forever. In the holy and blessed name of our Lord Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you until life everlasting. Amen.